Being homeless is not a comfortable living situation any time of year, but the middle of winter, it's the worst. It's also the time of year when the Point in Time, or PIT, homeless surveys go on, a head count of the homeless people all over the country. The exact point in time is variable and up to the people who perform the survey locally, and it takes a while before the official count is published. Jackson County performed its point in time count on January 21st. Let's find out what goes into the survey and how the information from it is used. Two guests in the studio with me. Pamela Knorr is the executive officer at Access, Inc., one of the major agencies involved. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Constance Wilkerson is with us as well. She's the manager at the Jackson County Continuum of Care. Constance, good to see you. Connie.
Nice to be here.
Good to have you back. So start us off. Why is a point in time homeless count even done? You'd mentioned just before we got on the air that this is in part a HUD requirement, Federal Housing and Urban Development?
It is a HUD requirement that this count is done every 2 years. Sometime during the last 10 days in January, we in Jackson County choose to do it every year so that we can have a better understanding of the barriers and services that people who are experiencing homelessness face.
And is it just it's a one-day count, that's it?
Actually, we're allowed to count now for 7 days, mm-hmm. but it all traces back to where were you sleeping on the night of the pit count. So in our case, in the night of January 21st. So we did that count from Monday through Sunday at various events throughout the county.
All right. And how worked out is the methodology and how much of it is prescribed by HUD, for example?
It's not totally prescribed. We've used the method for several years now of going out to known camps. And along the Greenway, we also go to homeless shelters, to community dinners, to any place we feel like those experiencing homelessness may gather and partake in the survey. We also this year took it out to rural communities, to Butte Falls and to Shady Cove, and did miniature resource fairs with 6 agency partners.
All right, so all kinds of ways to find people, look for them, try to figure out where they were on that particular night. And then how, we talked about it's not a really prescribed sort of thing, but what do you find out from the numbers that you didn't already know, for example?
We find out how long they've been homeless and whether their homelessness began here while they were already residents of Jackson County and what triggered the most recent episode of homelessness and how many in their household are experiencing homelessness and other demographics like age, gender.
All right. So then what kinds of, do you find out things from the homeless count that elude you that the rest of the year you didn't know about? I mean, it seems like both of your agencies are fairly well in tune with what goes on within the homeless community, there shouldn't be a lot of surprises. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't think there's a lot of surprises that come from it. I think that everybody recognizes that it's one snapshot in time, and sometimes we all feel that there are more people who are struggling with homelessness than are counted during that one night. But we find opportunities that I think we didn't know about before and how we can provide services in our community that will better support those struggling with homelessness.
Do any names get attached to the surveys, or is it strictly numbers?
Yeah. There can be names attached, but we don't release the data that way. Mm-hmm. An individual can just give us initials or a made-up name. But many people give their full name.
Oh, yeah, but I asked for purposes of tracking to be able to know, like, for example, you didn't count a person twice or something like that.
We have ways of doing that the way the survey's developed, so we can deduplicate.
Mm-hmm. And how many people end up taking part in the survey, first of all? I mean, you have it sounds like volunteers and paid staff scatter all over the county.
We had over 50 volunteers helping us with a point-in-time count this year.
Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we also had partners that provided, I think you had a couple places rurally that had soup available. So there are a lot of agencies that partner with us to ensure that we count as many people as possible. I know that the sheriffs are involved and local law enforcement help the volunteers get out there and count.
For the folks who don't know, tell us a bit about what Access does for the homeless population in Jackson County in addition to the count.
Sure. Access is the community action agency for the entire county, and we provide services, food, warmth, and shelter throughout the region. But we also partner with other agencies that actually provide services like sheltering, like in the Ashland community and in Medford. But in this situation, we're the lead agency for the COC, the Continuum of Care, and that is the agency that Connie represents that coordinates the point in time count.
And what is a continuum of care? We continue to hear the name over the years, and it seems like lots of communities have them. Is this also a federal mandate or a federal suggestion, or how does that all work out?
It is a federal mandate from HUD that each community, be that a county or several cities together or scattered areas throughout the state that's known as a rural Oregon continuum, they're geographically bound, even when they are scattered. And so the continuum of care's goal is to end homelessness in that continuum of care's area. And they do that by trying to match individuals who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of experiencing homelessness with housing and with wraparound services. And so, you know, we have preventative programs as well as programs for those who are already experiencing homelessness.
So it's a whole host of services. I mean, it basically keeps you guys all in touch with each other from the sounds of it.
It does.
All the services that are being provided at least pass through the attention of the continuum of care.
In this past year, we now have 17 community agencies that are using the HMIS system, which is the Homeless Management Information System. And so we coordinate our efforts and we centralize the housing list so that we can pull available housing from all of our community partners, because we see everyone's client as everyone's client. We no longer have this proprietary nature that that's my client, I'm going to house them. We pull together our resources.
We are talking about the homelessness and the point-in-time homeless count in Jackson County that was done on January 21st was the date chosen. It's obviously counted over a couple of different days. Two guests with us, Connie Wilkerson is the Jackson County Continuum of Care Manager. Pamela Knorr is the Executive Director at Access, Inc. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange by phone at 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Through the process of continuum of care and getting people to talk to each other, it sounds like we know a bit more. Is that fair, that we know more about the causes of homelessness through the existence of continuum care and through the point-in-time homeless count as well?
That's definitely true. And each year we're allowed to add our own local questions to the point-in-time count. And I think we do a good job of understanding that demographic better by asking these localized questions.
But where knowledge is power, it's not necessarily also the solution to things. So with greater knowledge, I mean, do you have any greater ability to be able to address homelessness? I mean, a continuum of care, as you mentioned, obviously is about ending homelessness over time, but that's a tall order and continues to resist our best efforts, it seems like.
It is a tall order, but we're building bridges in the community with law enforcement and social services and medical providers and mental health services, and these new partnerships, I think, are going to be a great part of the solution.
So in the point-in-time homeless count, has the methodology changed over time? Is it pretty much done the same way it's always been done?
I think we've gotten better every year. And so we are having a concerted effort to go into the more rural areas now. We feel like maybe those areas have been overlooked in the past. And so we're taking our resources out there.
I would also add to that I think that because the continuum of care has really become more of a collaborative between municipalities and agencies, there's a stronger group of volunteers and people to support the effort and then to also find solutions. I think it's really, in the past year, with Connie's leadership, has really made a big difference.
So you mentioned a couple of examples where people go for the counts, and I'm just wondering about some of the other circumstances. Like, can weather affect the count? I mean, if it's a horrible, rainy or very cold day, I mean, does that make a difference about where people are going to go and then where you send people to, in an effort to find them?
Well, many people who are experiencing homelessness really don't have a choice of whether they're going to be sheltered or unsheltered that night. And so the weather really does not affect the count. The weather might affect the volunteer numbers, but we're able to count regardless of the weather.
Is there a sense after years of doing this that the counts are basically correct? I mean, is there a margin for error? I'm just wondering about that whole level of things.
Well, we use one definition of homelessness, and there are other federal definitions of homelessness. The Department of Education uses a definition that allows you to include people who are doubling up with friends or family or couch surfing. And HUD does not allow for that. And so when we look at the homeless count that's done in the school system, it's always much larger than our point-in-time count. They're estimating around 2,200 kids are homeless here in Jackson County. And our point-in-time count last year was 732.
What was the total point-in-time homeless count for last year? I know you can't talk about the 2019 count, but you can tell me what the 2018 numbers are.
It was 732.
Was the total count of homeless people in Jackson County?
Yes.
On that one day. Is that lower or higher than previous years, for example?
That's the highest it's been in 7 years.
Mm-hmm. And highest, really, over 7 years. And this is 7 years in which supposedly the economy was recovering. Any ideas for why that number continues to grow over that time?
There are so many triggers, but a lot of it is due to housing shortage and increased rent. And so even when people are working, they're not able to afford rent. A one-bedroom here in Jackson County typically rents for $950 a month plus utilities. And that's beyond someone who's making minimum wage, beyond the ability to afford that month after month.
I'm looking at the numbers from 2018, from the reports to Congress. So basically, I went for the national point-in-time numbers and noticed that for the states with the rates of the highest numbers of unsheltered homelessness, California is number one with 68.9% of the homeless population of almost 130,000 considered unsheltered. Oregon at number two. A far smaller number, not surprisingly, with a state that's about a tenth the population. But Oregon comes in with almost 62% of its homeless population unsheltered. Is that about what Jackson County sees, or is Jackson County even maybe more unsheltered?
No, that's about what we see. We see about one-third sheltered, two-thirds unsheltered. But what's important here in Jackson County is that we're seeing more people who fit the definition of chronically homeless. In 2016, that was one out of every four individuals we surveyed. And in 2018, it was one out of every three. So that's a huge jump.
So over time, as continuum of care comes in together, and you got more people doing more things in conjunction with one another, does it seem like there are at least some efficiencies you're finding, or ways to get people services faster than you used to?
I would suggest that continuum of care is providing exactly that. It's providing bridges and pathways for us to try and help those who are struggling with homelessness. It's a long-term plan. This is not something that's going to be fixed overnight. It's not something that's going to be quick. It's going to take all of us, and it's going to take some solutions, and it's going to take some funding to be able to make that happen. But I think the continuum of care is the start of that, and it's an awareness, and it is a commitment of the community to help solve the issue.
Where would the funding best be spent if you had more, for example, at Access to be able to deal with people in the homeless population?
Housing. I think making more affordable housing, transitional housing, and permanent supportive housing where people have that wraparound service and support. Because if you get housing first, you can get a job, you can stay in school, you can solve some of those other issues that might be contributing to it, but housing is the critical important part of that.
That middle part, though, seems to be a real area of concern, the transitional and supportive housing. Is there much of that in Jackson County at this point?
Well, I would suggest there isn't a lot of it, and there certainly isn't enough of it. And it is something that we're working hard on at Access, and we're working with our partners. Access has the ability to leverage dollars, both state and federal funding, in addition to grants, and we can support other organizations that are doing great work out there to do more of it. And I think that's where we have to get to.
Would you say there needs to be a doubling, tripling? I mean, is there a rough number
hesitate.
In your head about
it? I would hesitate to quote on that because we don't have a good understanding and number. As Connie mentioned, the point-in-time count is just one avenue, and it is only counting certain people in the population that are facing it that one night. I think there could be a lot more. And in addition to that, mental health and recovery. I think those are all areas that if we want to solve this problem, we have to work together to find the solutions.
The point-in-time homeless survey, the topic here in the Jefferson Exchange, Jackson County's point-in-time was January 21st, and the count took about 7 days from what we're hearing from our guests here. Constance Wilkinson is the Continuum of Care Manager in Jackson County. Pamela Knorr is the Executive Officer at Access, Inc. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So how well do you end up with categories at the end of the point-in-time homeless count? In addition to a raw number, do you have pretty good definitions of, you know, people who are, you mentioned that you do count the people who are couch surfing or doubling up with other people, but can't include that. The HUD survey, is that how that works?
Right. We cannot include people who are couch surfing or doubling up with friends or relatives.
All right. But then otherwise, do you have a good idea of, like, these people are homeless because somebody lost a job, these people are chronically homeless and mentally ill? I mean, I don't know how many different categories, subcategories you have.
We have many different categories, and these are all self-disclosed. And so we do ask about mental illness. We ask about substance use disorder. We ask whether they're parenting youth, which means they're under the age of 24 and have a child. We ask whether they're domestic violence, sexual assault survivors. We ask if they are chronically homeless. We ask if they're veterans. And so we do have many subcategories, and we can track that from year to year.
So we have an email here from Brian, looks like, not sure what town he's from, but he asks, has any consideration been given to having a full-time shelter at the county fairgrounds where centralized services could be provided? He's not the first person to ask about this, but the shelter or the buildings at the fairgrounds can go unused for long periods of time, and there's lots of space within them.
There is, and we're actually looking at a whole host of options. This summer we had a regional sheltering group get together that was just anybody who had an interest in it, from support services, county mental health, law enforcement, municipalities. We all got together and talked about what are the options for a regional shelter. And we continue that conversation today, and we're not turning down any possibility that might be a good location. But as you can imagine, there's a lot of parameters around what that is for safety and security, bathrooms, ensuring that we're keeping populations safe within each other, putting, youth in one place and separating from the adults. There's a lot of situations that go on with that. So we're looking at a whole host of properties and possibilities. And we're very hopeful that we'll have something coming together by next winter. Hopeful.
What do we know about number of shelter beds needed versus number of shelter beds currently available?
Well, we know that there's certainly not enough shelter beds, especially when we have cold weather out there. That is one of the challenges that we have, is that we want to ensure that people are warm. And in the summer, when it's smoky, that people have clean air to breathe. So, best case scenario would be to have a year-round shelter that's available, that includes case management, so that we can help people move to that next level of home, of housing, without putting them back out on the street when they're not in the shelter.
So we mentioned last year's count was 732. What are the restrictions that hold you from publicizing this year's numbers for a couple of months? Is that right?
It takes a long time to put all this data in. We were able to use GIS apps this year, but many of the surveys were taken by hand.
Is there some resistance to folks who just don't particularly want to be counted? I mean, some people, I don't know how many, and you can help me with this, don't particularly want to be close to other people. They'd prefer to be out there by themselves. But does anybody then resist taking part of the survey?
It's totally voluntary, and we do have some individuals that make it known that they prefer not to participate, and we thank them for their time.
But do they get counted?
We can't count unless we have data.
Okay. So there are potentially more people who are homeless but not showing up in the point-in-time survey.
We had very few this year that chose not to participate.
Mm-hmm. And then when do you actually get to release the finished numbers with all the categories taken care of?
Sometime after April. We're never quite sure. We have to take direction from the government.
Mm-hmm. I know, the numbers I'm looking at from last year that I quoted here earlier are from August of last year. So that's the national information. Is that when that comes out?
That's right.
All right. So any particular surprises in this year's point of time homeless count, either in terms of methodology? You mentioned the new ability to use some GIS apps to be able to find locations a little better. But other than that, any particular impressions from what went on, either in terms of getting people out to find people or what you found once the volunteers were out there?
We're seeing more older adults. We're seeing people in their 70s and into their 80s who are now homeless. And so this is really a shift from what we've seen in prior years.
And what do we think is driving that?
So many factors. Increase in rents that, are not supported by their retirement income anymore. Loss of family relationships.
All right. So a number of different things, but one of them is that nothing else has changed in somebody's life other than just the price tag for the place they're living went up.
That's correct. We see that a lot.
All right. Once again, our guests are Connie Wilkerson from the Continuum of Care and Pamela Knorr from Access. We're talking about the point-in-time homeless count in Jackson County. What in the 2 minutes or so we have left, what bits of hope can we project out to people who want to know that there's progress being made in homelessness? Because I know this is, you know, you get the constant drumbeat of complaints about, oh, my God, they're hanging around this park, this shopping center, that bike path, whatever. People often want them gone, but there's no place to go is what we hear back from people who are homeless. So what can we offer the public in terms of understanding the situation a little better or appreciating that things are being done?
I would suggest that the continuum of care is making significant strides in trying to come up with long-term solutions to this. Again, it's not a quick fix. And I know that when there's something that's very visual, people want a quick fix to that. But I do think the continuum of care is a group of concerned agencies and organizations that are working together to find solutions. And to do that, we're trying to acquire more funding to support building more housing, developing more partnerships. Maybe Access can't build it, but maybe we partner with a couple other agencies and we can build it together. So I think that's really making a difference. It is also helping to work with the municipalities on zoning. That's making strides also. And I think we're really starting to see some shift in that. We're also, because we're now a functioning COC here in Jackson County, we're able to go back to the state of Oregon and the federal government and say, we're doing this right. It will take years for that funding to come to our community, but we're starting to make strides to demonstrate that we're doing this the way we're supposed to be doing it, as a collaborative and as a community. And I think we will start to see a shift.
A lot of work still ahead, but a lot of people pulling on that same rope.
Absolutely.
Through the continuum of care. The continuum of care is managed by Connie Wilkerson. Constance Wilkerson, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Pamela Knorr, you just heard from Access, is the executive officer. Access, Inc. is the community action agency for Jackson County. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.